Go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing upon the message. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning, for another opportunity to look into it. Guide us and direct us into your truth now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I hope this morning that you brought your Bible with you because you're going to need it kind of as we go through the message this morning. I'm going to be talking about something from the word of God that should interest every child of God. I'm going to preach on a topic that perhaps you've never heard anyone preach a specific message on. I'm going to be talking about what will happen when the rapture of the church takes place and every child of God receives his or her glorified body. You know, we've all seen folks that we feel are more attractive than we are, and we wish we could look like they look. Or you know, maybe you look at your spouse, you've been married for a long time, and you wish your spouse looked like your spouse used to look like. You know, I don't know. We're all looking at things like that. I remember years ago, my wife, shortly after we were married, told some ladies at the ladies' Bible study, she said, "My husband has the body of a god. Too bad it's Buddha." And well, anyway, but you know, we all see people that we think are more attractive than us, and we kind of wish we could look like them. But one day, and perhaps very soon, in the twinkling of an eye, every child of God is going to receive a glorified body. Now, if you got your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to look at verses 51 and 52 to start with. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, let me stop there and say sleep, of course, is the Bible word for death. He says, "We shall not all sleep." That is, not everybody's going to die before Jesus comes. So we're not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That is when Jesus comes again. He goes on, he says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead," that is those that have already died with faith in Christ, "the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we," those that are alive when Jesus returns, "shall be changed." Now, I want you to notice that Paul refers to this as a mystery, a mystery. That's because none of us really knows exactly how all of this is going to take place. That's why Paul refers to this as a mystery. But notice how fast the Bible tells us that this is going to happen. The Word of God says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Now you think about that. In the twinkling of an eye, blind folks will no longer be blind. In the twinkling of an eye, deaf people will no longer be deaf. In the twinkling of an eye, crippled people will no longer be crippled. In the twinkling of an eye, those who are sick will no longer be sick. In the twinkling of an eye, they're going to receive their glorified bodies. And why are we going to be given these glorified bodies? It's because these mortal bodies that we are living in right now are not designed for celestial living. If you continue on in this passage, he explains that beginning in verse 53 through 55. He said, "For this corruptible," talking about this body of ours, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?'" You see, the Bible refers to death as something that all of us will experience. That is, you know, with the exception of those who are alive at the time that Jesus returns. But other than that, everybody is going to experience death. And Paul, you'll notice, refers to here as the sting of death. That is, when one of our loved one dies, the sting of death is so severe that it takes months and years for us to get over it. And in some cases, we just don't ever get over it. We just kind of get to the place with God's help where we can live with it. But our hope, what we are looking forward to, is the fact that all those who are saved are going to be given a glorified body. And because of that, we can point our finger in the face of death and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And it's no wonder that God's word says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Every Christian here should be excited about receiving their new glorified body. Why? Because these mortal bodies that we live in are consistently giving us problems. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, they're nothing but trouble. Job puts it this way in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And in that same book, Job says in chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so these mortal bodies of ours are a bunch of trouble. But what we want to focus on this morning is what kind of body will we receive? And first, let me say this: our glorified body will be like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, keep your finger or a marker in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to come back to this chapter several times, but turn right now to the book of Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'll give you a second to turn there, because preachers love to hear Bible pages turning. So Philippians chapter 3, and once you find Philippians 3, we're going to go down to the last two verses, 20 and 21. Verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. Now understand this, in our King James Bible, in 1611, that word conversation meant citizenship. Okay, it wasn't talking about our talking like we use the word conversation today. It was talking about citizenship. It's saying our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so, notice the word of God says that we're going to be changed from our vile bodies into glorified bodies like his. And notice that word vile. That comes from the Greek word that it's translated from is taponosis, which means to be made low. You see, this old sinful flesh that we live in is so vile that there is nothing it will not stoop to if it's allowed. For example, you know, we read all kinds of terrible stories in the newspaper. You know, we read of strong men taking a woman into the woods and raping her and beating her and then killing her. We read things like that on the news. We read, you know, two or three men will go together into a little store, and they'll kill an old man or an old woman for the money that's in the cash register. And we read about men who violate their own children sexually. I mean, I'm here to tell you that this mortal body that we live in is vile, and there is no limit to how low it will go if it's allowed. Now, thankfully, not everybody goes that low, but the potential is there because of this wicked old sinful flesh of ours. The late Dr. Vance Havner used to say that society was going to the dogs, but when he read the newspaper, he felt he needed to apologize to the dogs for insulting them. Amen. You know, there are times I read what people have done in these vile bodies, and I'm ashamed that I belong to the human race. There is just nothing on earth that is as vile as humans. But one of these days, the rapture is going to take place, and thank God, as a Christian, I'm going to get a glorified body that is not controlled by the flesh. It will be eternally controlled by the Spirit of God. From the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, I received a body of flesh that is vile. But from the second Adam, which is a reference in the Bible to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a body like his. And that's why it says there in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The Bible said that this new glorified body will be fashioned like unto his glorified body. Basically, one day we'll be like him. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That is, we're children of God right now because of our faith in Christ. "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." That is, we don't have all the details of what it's going to be like when we get this new body and we get to heaven. But it goes on and says this, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now let that sink into your mind for a moment. The Bible says that when he appears, we shall be like him. You know, the lost people of the world, they look to other mortals and they say, "Oh, I wish I had a body like that person," or "I wish I had a body like this person." But listen, we who know the Lord, we are looking for a body fashioned after the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will get it. It is God's promise to us. Our glorified body will be like the glorified body of Christ. No more aches, no more pains, no more suffering, no more sickness, and no more death. A body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing that I want you to see this morning is not just that our glorified body will be fashioned after the body of Christ, but secondly, our glorified body will be a body of flesh and bones, a literal physical body. Remember, the Word of God says that one of these days, these vile bodies of ours are going to be fashioned after the body of Christ. Well, what kind of body did he have, right? Well, we have the answer to that question. In Luke 24:39, Jesus says this. Now, this is after the resurrection, so he has his glorified body. Jesus says this, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." Luke 24:39. This verse of scripture took place after the Lord had received his glorified body, and it was a body that had substance. It was a body they could see. He said, "Behold, look at my hands and my feet." It was a body they could touch. He said, "Handle me." It was a body that had flesh and bones. He said, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." So what kind of body will our glorified body be? It will be fashioned after the body of Christ. It will be a body of flesh and bones that we can see and touch. Now, a question that is often asked is, will we be able to recognize each other in heaven once we have these glorified bodies? Well, remember, this glorified body that we're going to receive is going to be fashioned after the glorified body of Christ. And when Christ appeared to his disciples in his glorified body, they recognized him immediately. He did not have to go up to them and reintroduce himself to them, right? They knew him when he appeared before him. And since our glorified body will be like his, it will be recognizable. We'll have a body fashioned like his body. Now, that does not mean that we're all going to look alike. We'll have our separate identity, just like we don't all look exactly like our parents, right? Our body may be fashioned something like our parents, but not exactly. And when I get to heaven, I will not be cloned to look like Christ, but my body will be fashioned after his body. You see, I'll have the characteristics of my heavenly Father, but at the same time, I will be different. And Paul shows us that difference by comparing us to the differences that we find among the heavenly bodies in the sky. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 40. It says in verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is other. So that's talking about our bodies, right? Right now we have a terrestrial body. That means we're on the earth, right? But one day we'll have a celestial body. And then he goes on to give an example, give an illustration. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So Paul is saying that even the stars and the planets are different. Now they're all planets. They're all out there in outer space. They all revolve around the sun, but they're all different, right? There's a difference between the sun and the moon and Saturn with its rings and that little red planet Mars. There's differences between them, but they're all planets. They're all in outer space and they all revolve around the sun. So they have a lot of similarities, but they are all different. And he uses that to explain the fact that we all will have a body in heaven that is fashioned after the body of Christ, but we will still all have our own distinct differences. And so when the rapture of the church takes place and Christ returns to call his church out of this world, call the believers out, our glorified body will be fashioned after the body of Christ. Our glorified body will be a body of flesh and bones. And then third, let me say that our glorified body will be a body where the Holy Spirit dominates. Where the Holy Spirit dominates. Here in this chapter, look again at verse 54 in 1 Corinthians 15. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. At the present time, Christians are in a body that has been dominated by the flesh, with no limit to how corrupt people can get, right? But, and what happened is this, when we became born again, and we started telling this old flesh of ours that we live in that it could no longer have its way, it wanted to pitch a fit. This wicked old sinful flesh of ours wants to dominate. But thank God that when we get our glorified body, it's going to be completely led by the Spirit of God. It will automatically do what is right. We won't have to make any choices or any decisions between good and evil, or between holy and sinful, or between right or wrong. Our glorified body will automatically do what is good and holy and right. This glorified body is going to be completely led by the Spirit of God, a body where the Holy Spirit dominates. And then let me finish up this morning one last thing, and that is our glorified body will not be limited by time, space, or gravity. In Luke chapter 24, a couple of verses that come to my mind when I was preparing this message. In Luke 24, verses 30 and 31, says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Now, if you're familiar with the story, this is the story of Jesus meeting two men on the Emmaus Road. After his resurrection, he's walking along with them on the Emmaus Road, and he walks with them to their house. He has dinner with them, and while he has dinner with them, he is teaching them the scriptures, right? And then if you notice there, the Bible says all of a sudden he vanished. He just vanished out of their sight. In other words, he was teaching them, and all of a sudden, he was gone. Another passage of scripture that comes to mind is John chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her." Right? She saw him after the resurrection in his glorified body. Then it says this, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Notice the Bible says he appeared in a room where the doors were shut. If you go further in that same chapter in John chapter 20, verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." There's a reason the Bible tells us the doors were shut. It's because all of a sudden, the Lord was standing in the midst of them. His body just appeared there. He didn't need any door. And remember, the Bible tells us our glorified body will be fashioned after his glorified body. One day, we're going to receive our glorified body, and those who have died trusting in Christ for salvation, when the Lord returns, you know what's going to happen? They're going to come out of that grave from 6 feet in the ground and never even disturb a grain of sand, because their body will be able to pass right through. And for those of us who are alive when Christ returns, well, when he returns, we'll pass right through the building that we're in without doing any damage to the building or to our heads. If it happened this morning, we'd go right through the church roof, and we wouldn't leave a hole, and we'd have no knots on our noggin from it. I mean, just boosh, just like that, we're going. In our glorified body, we can be standing here one moment and vanish and appear somewhere else. Now, today, we live in a body that is limited, extremely limited. A body that is transported by the will of the flesh. But one day, we're going to live in a body that has been set free from those limitations. And we will be transported then by the will of the Holy Spirit. And what a difference that will make. The great surprise will be how fast the rapture of the church is going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. But the greatest blessing will be when all the saints of God, all those who have believed in Christ, will receive their glorified bodies so that we can see Jesus in all his glory. And what a day that will be for those who have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. But let me also say this. If you are not saved, if you can't remember a time when you called out to Jesus to ask him to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life and to make you a child of God, if you can't remember a time when you opened up your heart and invited Christ in to be your Savior and Lord, then you don't have anything to look forward to. You have nothing to look forward to except an eternity of torment. And that's why you need to receive Christ today while you have the opportunity. So, if the Lord were to come today, you would receive your glorified body and be ready and able to spend eternity in heaven with him. Our glorified body will be like the body of Christ. Our glorified body will be a body of flesh and bones. Our glorified body will be a body where the Spirit dominates. And our glorified body will be unlimited by time and space and gravity. But that is only true for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning and this study we've had.